Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am talking with David Erfley. He is the junior minor junkie. David is also going to be joining me in Vancouver for the upcoming Cambridge House show. Anybody who is in town, be sure to drop me a line, email me at fleck@kereport.com, and be sure to show up to David and my talks throughout Sunday and Monday. And also, again, if you are in town, then hey, maybe we can all meet up, have a beer, and talk a little shop and talk about a few of the companies. David, what I do want to talk to you about right now is, again, we'll first talk about the gold price. And you brought up something to me off mic that I found very interesting. Looking at the chart, we are seeing that gold is topping pretty much right at the same level that it topped during that Trump bump, that one day or evening where Trump got elected and gold shot up and then a few hours later started to reverse. This is pretty much the same level that it is topping out currently. And even when you look at the 3 or 4 weeks, about 4 or 5 weeks prior to that Trump bump, it's a very similar chart pattern that we're seeing week after week moving higher. And then again, it topped out pretty drastically on that one evening. What are you thinking? What does this mean to you when you see a chart pattern very similar to what we did about, well, let's say a year and 3 months ago?
Well, it shows there's still some strong resistance there, and we had the gold price run up to 1360 back in September, and pretty much reversed right away, right in that same area. So there is some resistance there, but the U.S. dollar also is having a little well deserved bounce here, but the dollar closing below 91 on the week last week was very bearish, and I think if we get a monthly close below that level, 88 is coming up here pretty quick. And if that happens, you're going to see the gold price getting towards 1400. And that would be very bullish. I'd love to see a monthly close above 1375. That would give us more technical confirmation of gold finally being in a bull market. I mean, we still haven't gotten that yet. So technically, we're still not in a bull market in gold, even though the shares are doing quite well.
Yeah, that 1375 is a key level. I agree with you there. But let's talk about some of the shares, because I talked with Doc, I believe, last week, and we were discussing how this isn't really a broad sector recovery and melt up for the shares. It very much is the selective shares. Even today, we saw Goldcorp release a pretty good quarter, and the share price is performing well. We're also seeing Yamana do better. It comes down to the fact that some of the larger companies are doing well, some of the mid-tier companies are doing well. But again, it's not an across-the-board rise in terms of stocks. What do you take away from that?
Right, and the volume still really isn't back into the sector yet. It's because of the U.S. stock market. It just keeps going higher. The Dow hit 26,000 today, but it's really getting long in the tooth here. I mean, you're having the U.S. equities are well above 60% bulls, which is kind of a psychological threshold for some correction in the past, and also getting dangerously too high above their 200-day moving averages. So I'm expecting a 7 to 10% correction in the market happen pretty soon here. I think that's what we need to bring some more buyers back into our sector. I think that will help a lot. But like you said, yeah, it's been kind of selective as far as some of the stocks are concerned. And a lot of the juniors are still yawning at all this, because that's where your highly speculative capital is in the miners, is in the juniors. And investors don't see any need to take on a high risk like that when they see things like the stock market continuing to climb. I think to get more speculative money back into the sector, we're going to have some weakness in U.S. equities first.
Okay, and again, just looking at the GDX chart and the GDXJ chart, you can see that, yes, it's been a nice rebound from, again, that lower part of the trading range, but in no way are we breaking out. GDXJ still has a lot of room to run just to reach the peak that it put in 2017, and that's not even touching the peak that it reached in 2016. So again, this might take some time. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, and also the declining volume too. You just look at, I'm looking at the weekly chart right now. I'm looking at a 2-year weekly chart, and the volume is declining, has declined during this consolidation. So we need to get a spike in volume, which will tell us that we're finally seeing some more speculative capital come into this, back into this sector, which is fine if you're still accumulating positions. I mean, there's still a lot of positions on sale here. A few of them have had nice moves due to newsletter recommendations and some undervaluation that happened during tax loss selling. But you could still find some really good deals out there. They're a little fewer and farther between because, like I said, a few of them have kind of left the stations, the quality juniors. But there's still a lot of value out there. As long as the GDX remains below 25, which I think is where it's going here, it's going to the 25, 26 level probably on this move. But then we're going to see a pullback from there, and that'll probably just be a really good buying opportunity for anybody who's waiting to get in.
Speaking of the volume, if I have a GDXJ chart here, the weekly chart, the volume is declining almost to levels that we hadn't seen until the tail end of 2015 when it came in that really low level. So again, yeah, the interest still is not really with the precious metals, but at least we have seen a sustainably higher price in stocks and in the actual underlying metals prices. Let's also talk about silver. I've been bringing it up with a number of our commentators that silver, in my eyes, continues to lag, especially when you consider that base metals are also doing well. Silver doesn't seem to be getting that economic metal type of rebound. Plus, again, on the precious metal side, it's not really leading gold, or at least not to any significant extent. Why do you think silver continues to lag?
Well, it does continue to lag, but what I'm seeing is I'm seeing silver juniors, primary silver, low-cost primary silver producers, juniors, and silver juniors with really good deposits are bifurcating from the market, and some of them are getting close to 52-week highs. So that is very encouraging for the sector. When you start to see silver juniors lead, that is huge. And remember, on Fed Day, we had many of the silver juniors up over 10% that day. So that bodes very, very well for the future of mining stocks here.
It does, but it still is one of those markets we need some sort of a pop, and it sounds like that pop would come on some sort of a pullback in the U.S. markets. And it's something that Chris and I did talk about earlier today, is that even though the markets are moving up quite nicely again today, we are seeing the VIX get a buy, and it is trading above 11 on that volatility index, still nowhere even close to its highs, but at least it's not in single digits anymore. So maybe some people are starting to take a position to at least be somewhat protected on a pullback. What degree of pullback would you like to see, David? Would it be a 5%, a 10%? I know anything more than a 10%, people would start to get very scared, but could just a 5% move down be enough to draw more interest into the metals?
Yes, I think just some weakness. I mean, we haven't even had a 3% correction in the last 2 years in U.S. equities. So I know the last time we had a 10% correction was just about 2 years ago. So I just think just some weakness in the sector would get some people a little nervous. And hey, let's get into mining shares. Oh, wow. Look mining shares. Look how cheap they are now. And then it doesn't take much. I mean, our sector is tiny. It doesn't take that much capital to come into this sector to move it.
That's the thing. And you know what? Maybe if we see some sort of a larger correction in the cryptocurrencies too, that could even draw some people back into the metals. The fact of the matter is, metals just haven't really been exciting. And that's where we continue to stand. But for people like us who follow the sector very closely, if we take a step back, look at some of the longer term charts and understand this nice base that we are building, we're over 2 years out from that bottom that was put in at the tail end of 2015. this is all encouraging, but again, it has not been one of these V-shaped recoveries, and which can be good in terms of longevity for a bull market, but there's still some building to do, and that's what we're going to continue to follow along with. But again, your newsletter is very good at following individual companies, a lot of companies that we follow on this site, looking at it both from a technical and fundamental basis. I'm looking forward to touching base again with you back in Vancouver, David, having a couple beers, chatting with a couple companies, and, well, hopefully seeing a little bit of sunshine. But either way, we'll be stuck indoors most of the conference. I'll see you soon, David, and hey, thanks for the comments today.